Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The Unholy Trinity Podcast. Three blues, three opinions, one Everton podcast.
Welcome to episode 141 of the Unholy Trinity Podcast, brought to you in association with Sports Social, the UK's only dedicated sports podcast network, and also Fanatics. We're recording Sunday after another Everton defeat, so two games played this season, two defeats, 2-1 defeat to Aston Villa. Don't think it told me the whole story. Don't think it was totally unexpected either, if I'm being perfectly honest. A lot to discuss about that game in terms of what we saw, positives, negatives, new signings, getting the first game for the club. But Lee, what's your overall impression of the game? Do you think we were unlucky? Did we deserve more than obviously a 2-1 defeat?
It's a really strange one, isn't it? Because ordinarily, you know, you want to get off to a good start in any season because momentum in football and any sport is huge. But I'm actually strangely quite positive after the two games. Don't get me wrong, there's negatives to be had as well to be picked at from the games, and we'll go over that. But you know, I feel there's a bit more optimism in the camp now. Even you know, this time last year when we had a good start to the season under Benitez, there wasn't the same unity, I think, at the club, both amongst the fan base, and around the club in general, really. Now, I feel like the owner's clearly taken heed of his own words and stepped away from transfers by the looks of it. Which means the likes of Thelwell and Lampard are clearly on board with it. Lampard's talked about that, how him and Kevin have built up a good relationship. And, you know, we seem to have an idea, a plan, don't we, in terms of the signings and in terms of Frank assessing the weaknesses in the squad, you know, particularly around leadership as well as obviously technical abilities and things like that. So, you know, and as fans now, okay, we've lost essentially two really tight games. They could have easily been draws, or even potentially we might have nicked one of them as well. So, you know, sometimes in sport, you just need a bit of luck. And obviously, we didn't really have that over the last two games. You know, we've lost to a very soft pen, but a pen against Chelsea. And obviously, yesterday was really tight as well. So I'm strangely optimistic, considering we've actually played two and lost two, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, it's funny, isn't it? Because we spoke, obviously, after the Chelsea game. And we, you know, there was positive to take in that game. Felt we probably deserved a draw in that. And you look back at yesterday's, and okay, we've conceded a couple of sloppy goals of our own doing yet again. You know, we've said it quite a few times. It's happened quite often last season where sides weren't scoring great goals. We were making mistakes. But even in defeat, and even after looking back at those mistakes, you feel that you're seeing an improvement, which might sound a bit strange to some people. But most certainly, defensively, we do look that, you know, much more solid set pieces defending them, especially having obviously James Tarkowski and Connor Cody for the first time yesterday. I think the two of them looked really solid alongside Mason Holgate, who again I thought had a half decent game. But the big issue, Pete, really, which we all know, you know, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to work out where we are, not so much going wrong, but where we're struggling currently, is the fact that we haven't got that central striker, that Dominic Calvert-Lewin, the fact we started with Gordon, Gray and McNeil again. And it just didn't really work, did it?
No, we lost that game because we didn't take our chances. It's as simple as that for me. We have 15 shots away from home to Villa's 12. You know, I know exactly where you and Lee are coming from when you say there's a lot of positives to take from the game, because I think we've played better in the last two games, even though we've lost them. I think a lot of the end of last season, and you know, certainly much better than when we're on that losing run under Rafa, where we were just getting annihilated. You know, there was no system, there was no cohesion, there was no team spirit. And you see now from the past two games, there's an organisation that's starting to come throughout the team, and there seems to be much better team spirit, and there's much better connection, at least between the fans and the players, in terms of the football club. So it's really frustrating what's happened to Calvert-Lewin. And, you know, I think we've got to be careful about not thinking about, you know, if this injury hadn't have happened, you know, might we have got something out of the last two games? Because it's a bit of a redundant question, really, isn't it? But I think we've played so well. I think if you have a goal scorer, you know, someone that can hold up the ball and, you know, a little bit more of a killer instinct in the box, I think we do get something out of the past two games. In fact, I think we probably win both of them. Because I thought Aston Villa, I didn't think they were the better team yesterday. And a lot of the pundits that seemed to watch that game said, you know, it was a deserved win for Villa. Well, I couldn't disagree more. I thought, you know, Villa's front two or three probably won that game for them. And when Gerrard came out and said, you know, we wanted to make the game all about their back three, I thought that was a little bit of a shift of focus away from his own camp, really, and his own defensive troubles, because they were there for the taking. Last 15, 20 minutes, they were there for the taking. And I think if we would have got that goal a little bit earlier, we probably would have got something out of the game. So these frustrations continue, and hopefully we're not going to have to continue talking about them for too long.
We said that last week, Pete, on the pod, me and Mike, actually, about certainly after the Chelsea game, you know, there was a particular chance with Gordon, you know, that cross that Gray cut back on his right foot and whipped it in, and Gordon's basically, well, he had a free header, didn't he? And he basically closed his eyes and missed the ball. You know, if that's Calvert-Lewin, who's, let's be honest, probably or arguably the best header of the ball in the league, or certainly up there, he's going to bury that, isn't he? And it's the same with Damari Gray yesterday. That ball that got whipped in from the same side, that's obviously cleared all the defenders and it's dropped to Gray. He's tried to control it. You know, a striker there, I said to you, Mike, you look at Callum Wilson's finish in Newcastle last week, where it wasn't even half a chance. It just came in, he just flicked it in, like instinct with the outside of his foot, and it went over the keeper. If that's a proper striker in the box instead of Gray, I think they just flick that with the outside of the right foot, or hit it first time with the left, maybe, rather than trying to take a touch. Because that's just striker's instinct, just get it, you know, get it on target, because he was so close to goal. He only has to get a touch on it, it's probably in. So you are right, it comes down to fine details, and Lampard will be absolutely ruined the fact that Dom got injured, obviously, before the Chelsea game. You know, of all the players we could have lost, he was the most crucial. And, you know, I like the fact, you know, he's still positive, because I think he sees what we see on the pitch. And obviously, he knows the players much more because he sees them in training. But if you know what I mean, Mike, like, he sees what we see in terms of, like, there's clearly a plan there now. There's clearly a structure, like Pete said. There's clearly, you know, an identity forming a little bit in terms of, the, you know, how he wants us to play. Yes, there are still teething issues in terms of, you know, certain positions on the pitch, and we can go over those. But you can see, you know, we can see, like, more of a plan. We've said this all along, and we, even if we have a season where we, you know, we just bounce along this season and don't do anything spectacular, but we see a style developing and we see young players flourishing, then we'll take that as fans, won't we?
That's all. That's what we've been looking for, isn't it? And, you know, we're looking for that structure, that plan. And, okay, we said this a few weeks ago, that this side and this formation for me is very much built for a Dominic Calvert-Lewin type striker, whether it's him, whether it's somebody else. But it's not built to have those three smaller, say wider players playing across that particular line. And I mean, Frank Lampard said yesterday, obviously it's up to those players to be fluid and to be creative and, you know, get it, you know, make those runs in behind. And let's get it right. You know, I said this yesterday across social media. Rondon's not fit. This the manager basically has said that in his press conference on Friday. So he wasn't fit to start the game. He's not sharp enough. Came on, did a decent job, I thought. I thought, you know, he made himself known, his presence known, and caused a few issues and created a few chances for us as well. But people who were saying, you know, we should have started the game, well, the manager knows better than anyone who's available, who's fit, who's fresh, who can give him 20 minutes, who can give him half an hour, who can give him 90 minutes. And it was quite clear both Rondon and obviously Amadou Onana as well, both of those players could not give more than sort of 15, 20 minutes. That's where they are. And we just need to accept that that's where we are. It's not ideal. You know, we're not sitting here saying that going into the season without your main striker is ideal. But bear in mind, Dom got injured pretty late on before the Chelsea game. So we know there was work and there is work in progress to bring another striker in. But obviously, we thought we were going to go into it to at least the first game with Dominic Calvert-Lewin. He, you know, he was looking sharp and training. He was looking fit. You know, another sort of freak injury for him, and we miss him for 6 weeks or so. So we've got to be mindful of the fact that, you know, the club are trying to bring in players. It's been yet again a really poor start to the season injury wise, and we expect, I would have thought, over the course of the next week before the Forest game, I'd expect to see a striker through the door, if I'm being perfectly honest. But we've got to look at, for me, there's no point hanging on negatives. You know, we know mistakes were made. The first goal, Dwight McNeil loses the ball. They break, they score. For me, it should never have got that far. And, you know, it shouldn't have happened. And obviously the second goal, Onana, again, trying to do the right thing. Unfortunate, I thought. Lost the ball and he went away and scored the second. But a lot there for me to really look at, be positive about and take on to the next game, and none more so than the performance, albeit for only sort of 15 minutes or so of Amadou Onana.
Yeah. I mean, definitely. I thought he showed in his little cameo, you know, briefly what he's about, doesn't he? In terms of, his, like we said before, you know, his pace, his power. But not only that, you can clearly see he's got good feet, technical ability, you know, and you know, he's almost a bit like Torre, sort of Vieira like, and that's not trying to put, you know, Martinez-esque pressure on him, you know, comparing him to sort of absolute class players, but he just sort of, in terms of style, showed that. And yeah, maybe a little bit naive, you know, I can see what he was trying to do receiving the ball there. He's clearly, you know, he's asked for the ball. How many times have we been asking for a midfielder to ask for it in the middle under pressure, rather than, you know, the centre-backs constantly recycling it, you know, to each other and out to the full-backs. And, you know, he's let it run across his body there, a little dummy, and it's worked to an extent. And then, obviously, the lad's just got a nick on it. And he was unfortunate, really. But like Frank said in his post-match, you know, Dwight McNeil was probably a little bit more guilty there. He should have, it wasn't the best pass into him, but he just has to see the situation or realise the situation he's in, realise we're quite high up the pitch. And then just back, you know, wall pass it, isn't it? Bounce it back and just keep the ball. And yeah, they're both, as Frank said, you know, you can't lose the ball, can you, in central areas when you've committed, obviously, men forward. And then obviously, you know, we got punished for it twice. Because I agree with what Pete said. I didn't think Villa were any great shakes. You can see why they got turned over by Bournemouth last week. You know, sort of Gerrard was saying, yeah, we wanted, you know, playing Ollie Watkins, we wanted sort of more people up there to create more of a problem for the opposition. Yeah, they created problems at times. I thought overall we dealt with them quite comfortably. I thought it was a decent debut for Cody without being spectacular. You could hear him talking a lot. I thought Tarkowski played all right. Maybe he could have engaged the players a bit more instead of backing off, maybe, if you're being super critical. But overall, we dealt with him quite well. And yeah, it's just frustrating to, you know, to concede those types of goals. We said to each other, didn't we, as soon as Gordon scored from that corner, and sort of fraction offside. You know, we were just berating, weren't we? So we just need that first goal. You know, we get that first goal. It was the same when we played Villa last year. Get the first goal, the crowd are going to get on the backs because, you know, they're not a happy club at the minute with everything going on behind the scenes with Gerrard and everything. And I think we probably would have gone on to win the game, but obviously, you know, we then concede first not long after it, and it just changes everything, isn't it? Goals are everything, obviously, and just that first goal in these types of games, just vital. But yeah, obviously the game turned on its head last 10 minutes and, you know, it became a little bit end-to-end. Both teams had chances and we certainly had chances. And, you know, I think a draw, I know Pete said we probably would have won, we probably should have won it. I think a draw was probably the fair result, just maybe, I would say. You know, I thought, you know, you got to remember Watkins had that chance at the end when he should have lifted it over the keeper and he's hit it straight at him. And yeah, I just think, the game, you know, the game was there to at least get a point from. You know, if we haven't got a striker, I said to you, Mike, then when we spoke on the phone, we haven't got a striker, let's at least try and keep a clean sheet to get a draw, isn't it? Let's get a draw. Let's at least get a point from the game. Let's salvage something from a game when we clearly haven't got a goal threat inside at the minute.
Yeah, that would have been an ideal scenario, really. We know, like you said, we discussed the striker situation. I think you go there. I mean, obviously, we always go into a game looking to try and keep a clean sheet. But I think at the moment, if you come away with a 0-0 there, you'd accept that. You've got a point on the board. You move on to, obviously, our next home game against Nottingham Forest. And there's a bit more positivity. I think that we were unlucky not to get a draw. I thought we started the second half better. Looked a bit more alive here. We were causing issues from set pieces. Obviously, had a goal disallowed, but we caused problems from other corners as well. And obviously, the last 10 minutes was a little bit manic. But you look at the last 10 minutes, and we should have really scored in the last 10 minutes. Besides the own goal from Luca Dean, you look at the two chances for Anthony Gordon, the follow up from the Gordon chance, which came out and Rondon was sort of on his heels. Was it the Onana chance, which to be fair was a good tackle. It was a Callum Chambers who just come on, who got back. And listen, it was a good tackle. Onana couldn't have done anything else. So there was opportunities there, especially late on, to get something from the game. And that's obviously disappointing. But that's where you need to look at the positive side of the game. And someone was saying to me yesterday about, us clinging to positivity and, you know, in defeat, that shouldn't be the case. But what do we do? What, you know, do we constantly sit here and have negative discussions and start laying into plays and you know, bring about a blame culture? There's too much of that. You know, it's early season. Players are bedding in. We're short in certain areas. Frank Lampard said after the game yesterday, you know, this we're going to, over the next couple of weeks, things are going to change with this side. So we know players are going to be coming in and also players are going to be going out. You know, there's still three or four players who ideally you'd look to try and get moved on before the window closes. So, you know, I fully expect us to come out of this window looking more balanced and stronger than when we entered it. And that's what people need to remember. Yeah, it's frustrating. Yeah, we want to win every game. We want to get something from every game. But I'm certainly not sitting there, like you said before, when we were losing games under Benitez and we were getting beaten quite heavily. We're in the game. We're in the game against Chelsea. Unlucky not to get something from it. And we were certainly in the game against Aston Villa. And we were unlucky not to get something from it. So, you know, our luck will change. We will get stronger. And we move on, hopefully, with a positive week before we tackle Forest next Saturday.
The thing is, you've got to be positive, though, haven't you? There's no point in being positive for positive sake. It's not that. You know, Frank is the type of guy, and I think he's openly come out and said it, he doesn't get too high in victory and too low in defeat. And that's the way to be. That's how you've got to have a positive camp. Sport, you'll always have setbacks, don't you? Always, not just football, anything. You'll always have setbacks. How you deal with those setbacks normally dictates, you know, in our case, what type of season you have. You know what I mean? So you've got to be positive. You've got to take the positives from the game. Yes, you've got to analyse the mistakes. Of course you have, because you learn from defeats more than you do in victory a lot of the time. But you've got to keep a positive spirit around the camp. And, you know, thankfully, I did read a lot of tweets yesterday where a lot of people were talking a lot of sense in terms of, like, we have to stick by the manager now, let him build this team, give him time to implement his ideas. And you know, that's what I think. That's not being positive for positive sake. That's just literally trying to create the type of spirit you want around the club instead of being, you know, shrouded in negativity constantly. Don't you agree, Pete? Do you agree with that?
Well, absolutely. And I think that's the difference, isn't it? You know, he alluded to it last season when he came in, that he'd noticed a particular mentality were losing to become normal. I can't remember the exact sort of phrasing he said, but I remember him talking about that in several interviews, that that sort of culture has to change, and that's when a club gets into trouble. And I completely agree with that. And it's that sweet spot, isn't it, between not letting defeats completely derail you and set you back, but also being able to move on to the next game and be able to get something out of the next game. I think that the moment you enter that sort of culture and that mentality shift where, oh, we've lost another game, something fundamental needs to change. And it feels like we're a long, hopefully, long way away from that at the moment. I know it's very early on in the season, but it's not the feeling that you get after the first two games. And hopefully Forest can bring our first points.
But I think the issue with this, in terms of obviously the positivity, a lot of it for me is being, you know, we're finding ourselves most days reading things within the media, social media, from, you know, big accounts, sports media accounts, whatever it might be, to do with Lampard's under pressure, Lampard's favoured to be sacked. It's quite a constant theme that obviously has gone on, you know, since the back end of last season, since obviously we stayed up. And I think we're finding ourselves having to sort of justify at times why we're sticking with the manager. And for me, it's common sense. And we had a chat before on social media with a few people about this. And, you know, people are approaching it with common sense and saying that, you know, we've got to give this man time. Let him have 2 or 3 years to sort things out, both him and Kevin Feldwell. You know, both look like they've done a decent job so far this summer. But we're constantly seeing this sort of, I mean, I hate using the word agenda, but that's how it comes across. And that's what we're going to discuss in a bit more detail after our first break.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Welcome back to the second part of today's Unholy Trinity podcast. And like I said before the break there, brief introduction really, we're finding ourselves in this situation where Frank Lampard, from outside of the club, I think outside of the fan base as well, to be perfectly honest, is finding himself under this imaginary pressure. You know, we looked before the game against Aston Villa and it was billed, you know, about Gerrard versus Lampard and, you know, Lampard being under pressure. But, you know, they had exactly the same win rate in the Premier League, the two of them. I know that the Villa fans weren't too happy and aren't too happy with Steven Gerrard, and there's a bit of pressure there for him, more so than there is Frank Lampard from the fan base, that's for sure. But we still seem to keep on seeing the same media organisations, the same people saying the same things and sort of stoking a fire which isn't nearly there. And I mean, what's your thoughts, Leon? Well, I know your thoughts, but, you know, tell those who are listening your thoughts on it, because it's getting a little bit pathetic, really, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, this agenda now is getting a bit embarrassing, to be honest. I mean, it's so predictable. You know, yes, they were billing it as the Gerrard v Lampard, but sometimes we have to remember, isn't it? It's a bit of a TV show now, isn't it? You know what I mean? Interviewing Gerrard before the game and, you know, and trying to get them to talk about the rivalry, and they're basically both just pretty much playing it down, going, there's never really been a rivalry. Yeah, I mean, we've always got on great. Yeah, we've always maybe been vying to play for England in midfield alongside Scholes and a couple of others maybe. But, you know, I mean, it's just, you know, even they're playing it down, and rightly so. And it does, you know, we as fans now, because, we have a voice, obviously, through social media and that, and we can talk as a collective. You know, a lot of fans now are sort of starting to see through that now as well. And that's important. You know, we need to ignore the noise around it, particularly around, obviously, you know, when the match is on TV and all that, and they start saying controversial things just to get headlines and just to be sensationalist. You know, that seems to be the way it is nowadays. The more sensationalist you are, the more people watch it, you know, on social media and everything else anyway. So Yeah, I mean, we just need to ignore the noise, like I said. As you know, give Frank the time now. We've clearly made some intelligent signings, like I've said so far. If we can get a striker in, maybe two, possibly Garner in on top of that before the end of the window, I think we're well equipped, even with a ton of early injuries as well. I still think the squad looks a lot more balanced with a lot more depth. You know, so then let's look at it at Christmas. Let's see if we're seeing more progression yet again. You know, based on what, like I said before, what Frank's seeing and what we're seeing as fans.
Yeah, I think it's really important, isn't it? And my concern is that, you know, overall, I think common sense was prevailing yesterday after the defeat, and it certainly was after the Chelsea game. But I think a lot of people sort of do see what gets said in the media and do, you know, defend Frank Lampard. But then in the same breath, they're also then slating Frank Lampard about his selection yesterday, his formation. And you just got to not buy into what's actually being said for me. We've got to, you know, we were so united last season, especially from sort of, you know, January, February onwards. But that's got to remain, because this is exactly what the media want to do. They do it time and time again. And we can't afford, we're not in a position, Everton, to be sacking another manager yet, you know, within 6-12 months. I think it's really, really silly for that conversation to even be being had. And like I say, you know, inside the club and within the fan base, I think overall there's a very, very positive feel about Frank Lampard, what he's trying to do. Like you said, Lee, it's been a solid window so far. We do look more balanced. We certainly look better defensively. A lot of work's been done there. And if we can bring in one or two attacking options, and whether it's Garner, Gay or another central midfielder, then we're going to be in an even better position again and look even more balanced. And that's the really important thing. And, you know, let's look back when the window's closed and let, you know, we can make a much fairer assessment of things, like you say, in sort of December time. Have things clicked? Are we looking better? And you know, what's the outlook for the season then? But I think exactly that, mate.
And what was it that Frank said after the game? I think I sent you the quote, didn't I? We have to be patient. There are things that are going to be changing over the next 2 weeks. This team is going to get stronger. Exactly, he can see that now. The team he inherited in January, very late in January, so he had one day of the window. Let's not forget that. You know, this is his first window, by the way, first proper window, you know, with a new director of football. And he clearly sees that we're in a much better position than what he walked into when he came in. Like Pete said, he walked into a team that had won 1 in 14 games. Losing had become basically the norm. So they weren't even able to get out. They always say, don't they, managers, when you lose a game, try and bounce back straight away so you don't get into a rut, so it becomes a habit. And winning's the same. So I think he clearly sees, like I said before, what we're seeing, and he just needs to make little tweaks. Yes, you can point the finger at him a little bit yesterday for persisting with the three, McNeil, Gray and Gordon, which didn't really work really against Chelsea. But then you could see, I also see it as being, well, let's be solid and let's try and break with pace. You know what I mean? There's an argument that maybe Dele should have started because he's probably more match fit than Rondon. So there's an argument maybe to say that, you know, in hindsight, he may have gone with more of a focal point with Dele. He was a bit taller and can bring the ball down. But he also said in his post-match, you know, those players need to be stronger with their back to goal, didn't he? He referred to that. We need to be stronger with our back to goal when the ball's fed into them. You need to keep the ball or win fouls. So, you know, there are arguments to say, look, maybe he could have maybe changed a couple of things. But at the end of the day, let's have it right. For as much as we've improved the squad and into that now, certainly looked more solid defensively, we need a bloody striker, don't we? We need a striker. Simple and straightforward as that. We need someone to be able to get the ball up to occupy defenders, not just put the ball in the net as well.
Oh, 100%. Like I said earlier on, you know, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to work that side of things out, and work is being done. But that's obviously a really obvious thing to beat the manager with, as opposed from the outside, is that a striker is yet to come in. But like I say, a late injury to Dominic Calvert-Lewin. You know, we thought we were going into the first game with him, and it wasn't to be. So these things do take time. There's a lot of talk at the moment about certain strikers coming in. So we'll see. But Peter, what's your take on it? Are you as frustrated as me and Lee when you're seeing this constant sort of background noise, so to speak?
Looks easy news, isn't it? Easy news. Frank Lampard was one of the greatest players of his generation. Everton, a sleeping giant of football. Everybody knows the situation that we've been in over the past few years, everything that happened with Ancelotti. It's an easy story to throw out there, isn't it? I think Lee was spot on when you look at Steven Gerrard's time at Villa and the records they had. I think actually Lampard's win percentages is slightly higher across all games that he's had, not just including the Premier League games. But yeah, you know, Steven Gerrard is the sweetheart of football management, apparently. So it's a strange one. It is frustrating. And I guess the only hope is that when things do start to change and turn around, that he gets the same level of scrutiny and recognition for the good things that start to happen in the club. However, based on how the media reported us, surviving last season, that might not be the case, because he kept up a team that was in free fall, reconnected the fans with the club. But what got the headlines was, our fans running onto the pitch, which of course didn't happen in any other game, toward the end of last season, and has never happened before in football.
I'm still waiting for Man City to be charged, by the way, and after the assault on Robin Olsen, which hasn't yet happened, but we did get charged. And it's just a standard procedure, really, isn't it? But that's for discussions for another day. But I'd urge anyone, by the way, to listen to Frank Lampard was recently on the High Performance podcast. I'd urge anyone to listen to that. It was a new call a few weeks back at Finch Farm, and listen to him getting inside his mind, because he was on it previously when he was at Chelsea, I think, and he talked about what he's learned, what he went through when he left Chelsea, and what he's learned, obviously, since coming to Everton. And that really tells you and gives you an idea about what kind of mind he is and how he thinks about things. And it's, I think that's a really, really good listen, But it's important, the important message here is that we all stay on side. We all remain patient. We can see what work is being done. I can see improvements. I'm sure that the three of us will all agree that there are improvements there to be seen. And, the first two games of the season, we have been unlucky not to come away with more than 0 points. We probably 2 points would have been a fair reflection on where we are. Not to be, but I'm sure our luck will change and things will click, and hopefully that happens when we face Forest at Goodison Park on Saturday.
Yeah, I definitely advocate that podcast, mate. It's a real good insight into Frank's mindset. He was on before a few years ago when he was at Chelsea. And not long after, actually, he lost his job. But they were second, and they lost four games, and then plummeted to ninth, and he lost his job. And he talks about it in this latest version. But what clearly comes across on that podcast is for me, how emotionally intelligent he is, how self-aware he is about himself as well, in terms of how he feels he's improved, how he does things differently, and he's still young manager in the game of management, isn't he? So he's going to learn a lot as he goes along. But I think he clearly is an intelligent guy and a real hard worker. That really comes across in his career and as a player and certainly as a manager as well. And that's what we want, isn't it? We've always said we want a young, hungry manager who understands us as a club to take us into the stadium and beyond. And I think at the moment, I think most fans would want that to be him.
I think he mentions, doesn't he, about wanting to be here to take us into Bramley Moor. And that's the plan, having stability, having a plan and a direction. And that involves having the same minds. You're hopefully doing a good job as we move towards Bramley Moor, which, by the way, is looking spectacular and has gone up very, very quickly. So I look forward to seeing that a bit closer up next week before the Forest game, to be honest. But a lot of positives, I think, on the around the club, even after a couple of defeats, and really important we all stay together and back in the manager and obviously shut out that white noise, so to speak. But we're back at Goodison Park next weekend, looking forward to getting there for my first game of the season against Nottingham Forest, and we're going to discuss that after this short break. Welcome back to the final part of this week's Unholy Trinity podcast, and it's all eyes on next Saturday, Goodison Park, when Nottingham Forest, newly promoted Nottingham Forest, visit the ground for the first time. It's about 23 years, I think it is, 24 years since Forest last were in the Premier League. So, big game. You know, we've got no points. We need to get something on the board, that's for sure. And it's going to, you know, at the moment, Forest seems to be buying a player a day from what I can see on social media. They've got the fingers in many, many pies when it comes to transfers, and obviously they are trying to splash the cash in order to make sure they stay in the Premier League for more than just one season. The most high profile signs probably being the incoming of Jesse Lingard, who we were linked to. But Lee, what have you made of Forest's dealings in the transfer market so far? They're certainly giving it a good go, aren't they? If even if we think maybe they're going a little bit too far with the new faces of the club.
Well, the thing is, they've had to, haven't they? Because they lost so many players from last season. You know, the manager came out last week. He's done a great job, hasn't he, Cooper, there? And he's gotten back in the league. He's very well thought of, and rightly so. I think if you know, they've had to go out and sign a lot of bodies. With that comes excitement, yes, but also you know, time that's needed to bed these sort of players in. And fair play to them, you know, commend them for having a go at it. You know, a lot of clubs now, you know, I think Neville alluded to it recently. The ones that come up now, less and less of them are spending heavily and just prepared. They're quite happy to just yo-yo, aren't they, between the two, just to get the financial rewards and not really back themselves to sort of stay up and then become like the, you know, the Burnleys of the past or the Stokes and people like that. So, you know, and fair play to Forest. They're having a real go. Obviously, they've recently signed, they're tied at the Dennis deal by the looks of it. And we were obviously interested in him. I wouldn't have minded him coming in, as I've said before. I think, you know, for example, if we'd have had Dennis yesterday, just because his physicality, his ability to run with the ball, his pace, I think we'd have caused him all sorts of problems. Well, a lot more problems than we did with, you know, limited attacking threat yesterday. So, but it's not just for the short term, it's for the long term. And I think that could be a good signing for Forest. But yeah, let's see. You know, the Lingard one's a weird one for me. You know, no, and neither the club or the player have come out looking good in that transfer because they've only purely done it for a year, which is a bit of a disgrace, really. You know, that's basically Lingard almost saying, look, I've come for the money, and if you get relegated, I'm off on a free to get another payday somewhere else. And obviously the club could have handled that a bit better and maybe done it, you know, 1 year with a 1 year's extension maybe or something like that. You know what I mean? If they stay up or whatever, maybe phrasing it or wording it a bit differently. But anyway, that's not for us to be worried about. But I do think, obviously, they're playing West Ham as we record now. That's their first home game, obviously, back in the league. So it'll be interesting to see how that goes. But yeah, one thing that's really stood out with West Ham, with Forest, is that in 2022, they've only conceded 12 goals before they played Newcastle the other day. So it's 14 goals if you include Newcastle. So they've built, you know, that promotion push on the back of being a really, really good defence. Obviously, you've got a strong captain who we were briefly linked with, weren't we, in Worrell at the back. You know, and they've prided themselves on being hard to beat. And, you know, I watched a bit of that Newcastle game the other day and snippets of it. And, the rhetoric that came out of the game was pretty much that Newcastle was struggling to break him down. And it turned out, you know, a worldie from Shaw from about 30 yards eventually broke the deadlock. And a very clever finish from Wilson. So, but they were very much in the game without really carrying a massive threat. So, you know, just because we're playing Forest at home next week, for me, doesn't guarantee that we're just going to steamroll them, score a few goals and everyone's happy. You know, I do think it'll be a tight game again, particularly with the fact that, you know, if we certainly don't get another striker in, who's not just going to completely fix it, even if we do get one in, by the way. Because they'll need time. I think it'll be a tighter game than actually we think as fans, personally.
I've got to agree with that. I mean, I've been watching a bit of the Forest game at this moment in time, and they look pretty quick and pretty swift on the counter. They got a couple of really, really strong players. They obviously, Brennan Johnson, a player we were linked to quite heavily, signed for them, didn't he? After a decent season on loan. They've bought, like we said, you know, they've bought a lot of players. It's a necessity, if you like, in terms of getting numbers in, although it's So it's a balancing act, really, isn't it? To try and not bring in too many. So, you know, it's difficult to bed in so many new signs at one time. But you've got to try and do something to make sure they're strong enough to stay in the Premier League. So this weekend, you know, promises to be a really tricky game. A lot depends on who we bring in. Hopefully there's two new faces this week. Obviously, the Utsi Saganagay transfer saga is dragging on. Wasn't in the PSG squad when they played this weekend. A lot of talk around strikers, and you know, hopefully one should be tied up over the course of this week as well. But tricky game piece, isn't it? Especially at the start of the season. You know, it doesn't matter who you play. It's so hard, you know, to really not so much make a case, but always see us beating certain teams, because it takes a little while for the league to settle down, doesn't it?
Yeah, and I think we could well be playing them at the wrong time. Because I think in a lot of ways they're almost in the opposite position to us. They've invested heavily and they brought players in early and have bedded them in the squad, as Lee said, seemingly to quite good early effect. I mean, you look at the team they've got out today. Dean Henderson is new, obviously. Nico Williams, new. Lewis O'Brien and Toffolo, who they bought from Huddersfield Town, who are arguably Huddersfield's best players. That helped him finish third last season. That they're both new additions. Lingard, new. Awoniyi, I can't say his name, but he looks like a real handful up front. He's a new signing as well. And they've also just gone out and bought Dennis and Kouyaté as well. So that they're in a really strong position and, you know, really on the up. And they will come to Goodison Park more than happy to take a point. And I think that then puts the pressure on us to break down a defence, as Lee said, that hasn't been particularly leaky, on a club who are confident and are going to expect us to try and come at them, really, and will be happy to hit us on the counter and see if they can get something from the game. So I think it could be a really tough watch. And the only hope is that we might be able to field a slightly stronger, more balanced team to what we put out of Villa that might allow us to, I think, play a bit of football and maybe lift the team and, you know, lift the fans. But yeah, I think it could be a nervy one.
Yeah, you know, may well be. As I say, so difficult to predict the early games of the season until things start to settle down. And obviously the hope is that we do get a striker in who can make obviously other defences think about things a little bit more than the three that we've had up top so far. Because if we're asked to play on the front foot, if you like, and look to break a side down, will we struggle to take that particular role with the side we've currently got? Maybe. Does Onana come in from the start? We don't know if he's fit enough. He looks, I mean, obviously, for the goal yesterday, carried the ball really well, didn't he? Looked like he wanted to play on the front foot. A big, physical, strong unit who can certainly link up with the forward players and make things happen. So if he's fit enough, maybe he can give Frank Lampard an hour with a bit of luck. So another week's training under his belt will really, really help him as well. But I think a lot depends, as I say, on who comes in this week as to how we set up and how we play in terms of, as I say, playing on the front foot. Or do we try and sit again and look to try and counter? But that's obviously for the manager to decide on that. But it's certainly when you come up against the new promoted side so early on, they get through a lot of the early games, don't they, on adrenaline, being back in the Premier League for Forest for the first time in many years. It's such a big adrenaline rush for them that it does carry them through games and can give them an extra yard or two. So we've got to be mindful of that. We really have. There's no doubt that they will cause us problems at some point. But we've got to go in there confident. Remember, we are the home side. Fans on board. You know, backing the players from minute one, which obviously we did against Chelsea. And hopefully it's enough to get us the 3 points. But
I think we just need to show, for me as well, a bit more quality. There was a couple of times, wasn't there, in the game at the weekend, about, you know, McNeil getting in that position right in the middle where you want him, you know, either unleash a shot or play a better weighted pass. That was just poor, wasn't it? I mean, you know, I hate to say it, and it's probably a bad example, but you know full well, if that's someone of the quality of, say, a Hamed, it's a perfect pass, isn't it? It's a perfect pass which results in Gray having a one-on-one, or he feigns the pass and bangs it, you know, on target or something like that. And you know, there's just a couple of bits where we're just making the wrong decisions. You know, I thought Iwobi played well again yesterday, and you know, just little bits where he's gone for. I said to you, Mike, then he went for a give and go with Anthony Gordon, where he's megged the lad. He's got a yard on him. Gordon only has to flick that back into his path, and he's in the box. Instead, he ignores the pass, goes back to Tom Davis, misses the pass to Tom Davis. Davis has to bring the guy down. It's a yellow card. You know what I mean? And it's just like, it's stupid things like that, you know, where that's just a little bit of quality when you need it is a difference at the highest level, isn't it?
Oh, most definitely. It's fine margins. We say it all the time. And the first two games of the season have proven that, you know, how fine the margins actually are between picking up one or three points or no points in our case. And, you know, it's those split second decisions, that little bit of quality. It's being brave, you know, because how many times do we take the safe option where, you know, we go back on when we should be looking to go forward? And I mean, one player who you know, we've not mentioned, that's Lee from yesterday, yet again, is showing some really good form, is Alex Iwobi. That's one player who is looking forward and trying to make things happen, looking to link up with the front players. But at times he's looking to go forward and there's nothing in front of him. And that's the frustration. And that's what we need to get to be better at. And hopefully, with the addition of a striker, Onana getting a bit more game time, we should hopefully start to see that happening. Whether it comes to EA to see it on Saturday, who knows? But I'm hopeful going into the game with a lot of positivity from my point of view. And I look forward to getting to Goodison Park, as I say, for the first time, and seeing what we can produce on the day. But let's finish off with our round of predictions if we can. Pete, what are you saying?
Well, the negative in me says we could be playing Forest too soon, and I think we might lose 2-0. But I'm going to give you an ultra positive prediction, and I'm going to say the floodgates are going to open in our favour. I think we're going to score early, and we're going to win 3-0.
From one extreme to the other, there, Pete.
Lee, got to be positive.
Yeah, I've got to be positive, 100%, Lee.
So Pete probably had an extra espresso this morning for that one. it's like I said, I do think, you know, with the fact that we, you know, let's be honest, the only goal we've scored so far is an own goal from a former player. So, you know, I don't think there'll be a lot of goals in it. And I just think we do need to try and nick it. And I'm hoping we'll have just a little bit too much quality for them. The key is, as I said, they're resolute. You know, West Ham are struggling to break them down as we speak right now. So we need to try and get an early goal, get the Goodison crowd going, and then it could be an easier match. Certainly, it'll take the pressure off the players as well. But, you know, I think we'll just nick it. I think it'll be 1-0 for us.
I agree. I think it's going to be a tight game. I hope Pete's right, and it is a 3-0 that's comfortable and we score early and we, you know, take a little bit of that nervousness off the performance. But I think it's going to be quite tight. I was going to say 1-0. I'm going to say 2-1. Hopefully, we've got a couple of goals in us. A couple of new signs this week really add to the positivity. But difficult game. You know, like Pete said, I'll be playing him at the wrong time, maybe. But let's see how they get on, obviously, in their game today as well. But looking forward to it. Fingers crossed for a really positive result. But that is us for this week. We'll be back next Sunday, obviously after Forest, hopefully with a good performance to look back upon, hopefully a couple of new signs to discuss as well. So we will catch you then.
The Unholy Trinity Podcast. Three blues, three opinions, one Everton podcast.
Sports Social Podcast Network.